The last LOS for this topic review is to describe methods for measuring and modifying risk exposures and factors to consider in choosing among the methods. Measures of risk for specific asset types include standard deviation, beta, and duration. Standard deviation is a measure of the volatility of asset prices and interest rates. Standard deviation may not be the appropriate measure of risk for non-normal probability distributions, especially those with negative skew or positive excess kurtosis. Beta measures the market risk of equity securities and portfolios of equity securities. This measure considers the risk reduction benefits of diversification and is appropriate for securities held in a well-diversified portfolio, whereas standard deviation is a measure of risk on a standalone basis. Duration is a measure of the price sensitivity of debt securities to changes in interest rates. Derivatives risks, which are sometimes referred to as the Greeks, include delta. This is the sensitivity of derivatives values to the price of the underlying asset. Gamma. This is the sensitivity of delta to changes in the price of the underlying asset. Vega. This is the sensitivity of derivatives values to the volatility of the price of the underlying asset. Rho. This is the sensitivity of derivatives values to changes in the risk-free rate. Tail risk is the uncertainty about the probability of extreme negative outcomes. Commonly used measures of tail risk, sometimes referred to as downside risk, include value at risk and conditional value at risk. Value at risk, or VAR, is the minimum loss over a period that will occur with a specific probability. Consider a bank that has a one-week VAR of 200 million euros with a probability of 3%. That means that a one-week loss of at least 200 million euros is expected to occur 3% of the time. Note that this is not the maximum one-week loss the bank will experience. It is the minimum loss that will occur 3% of the time. VAR does not provide a maximum loss for a period. VAR has become accepted as a risk measure for banks and is used in establishing minimum capital requirements. There are various methods of calculating VAR, and both the inputs and models used will affect the calculated value, perhaps significantly. As is always the case with estimates of risk, incorrect inputs or inappropriate distribution assumptions will lead to misleading results. Given these limitations, VAR should be used in conjunction with other risk measures. Conditional VAR is the expected value of a loss given that the loss exceeds a minimum amount. Relating this to the VAR measure presented previously, the conditional VAR would be the expected loss given that the loss was at least 200 million euros. It is calculated as the probability-weighted average loss for all losses expected to be at least 200 million euros. Conditional VAR is similar to the measure of loss given default that is used in estimating risk for debt securities. Two methods of risk assessment that are used to supplement measures such as VAR and conditional VAR are stress testing and scenario analysis. Stress testing examines the effects of a specific, usually extreme, change in a key variable, such as an interest rate or exchange rate. Scenario analysis refers to a similar what-if analysis of expected loss, but incorporates changes in multiple inputs. A given scenario might combine an interest rate change with a significant change in oil prices or exchange rates. Quantifying the risk to an organization of very infrequent events is quite difficult. The risk of the bankruptcy of a firm that has never experienced significant financial distress is often a subjective estimate rather than a data-driven estimate. Estimates of risk can also be based on the market prices of insurance, derivatives, or other securities that can be used to hedge those risks. These hedging costs provide information on market participants' aggregate estimate of the expected loss of specific risks. Operational risks are difficult to quantify for a single organization because they are very difficult to predict and may result in very large costs to the organization. One way to approach this problem is to examine a large sample of firms in order to determine an overall probability of significant losses due to operational risks and the average loss of firms that have experienced such losses. Unexpected changes in tax laws or the regulatory environment can impose large costs on an organization. The political nature of such changes makes them quite difficult to predict. Subjective estimates, rather than data-driven quantitative estimates, are necessary. As is often the case, even a subjective, non-quantitative estimate of risk probabilities and magnitudes is better than not addressing the risk factor at all. Risk management does not seek to eliminate all risks. The goal is to retain the optimal mix of risks for the organization. This may mean taking on more of some risks, decreasing others, and eliminating some altogether. Once the risk management team has estimated various risks, management may decide to prevent or avoid a risk, accept a risk, transfer a risk, or shift a risk. One way to avoid a risk is not to engage in the activity with the uncertain outcome. If political risks in a country are to be avoided, simply not investing in securities of firms based in that country or not expanding a business enterprise to that country would avoid those risks. A decision to avoid certain risks typically would come from top management as a part of establishing the risk tolerance of the organization and would be instituted because the risks are judged to outweigh the potential benefits of specific activities. Some risks can be prevented. The risk of a data breach can be prevented with a greater level of security for the data and stronger processes. In this case, the benefits of reducing or eliminating the risk are judged to be greater than the cost of doing so. For risks that management has decided to bear, the organization will seek to bear them efficiently. Diversification may offer a way to more efficiently bear a specific risk. Sometimes the term self-insurance is used to describe a situation where an organization has decided to bear a risk. Note, however, that this simply means that it will bear any associated losses from this risk factor. It is possible that this represents inaction rather than the result of analysis and strategic decision-making. In some cases, the firm will establish a reserve account to cover losses as a way of mitigating the impact of losses on the organization. For a risk an organization has decided not to bear, risk transfer or risk shifting can be employed. With a risk transfer, another party takes on the risk. Insurance is a type of risk transfer. The risk of fire destroying a warehouse complex is shifted to an insurance company by buying an insurance policy and paying the policy premiums. Insurance companies diversify across many risks, so the premiums of some insured parties pay the losses of others. Ideally, the various risks the insurance company insures are not highly correlated, as that can reduce or eliminate any diversification benefits. An insurance company with highly correlated risks, or a single very large risk, may itself shift some of the resulting risk by buying reinsurance from another company. With a surety bond, an insurance company has agreed to make a payment if a third party fails to perform under the terms of a contract or agreement with the organization. For example, a company may be exposed to losses if a key supplier does not deliver on time, slowing a project and resulting in penalty payments by the company. Insurers also issue fidelity bonds, which will pay for losses that result from employee theft or misconduct. Managements that purchase insurance, surety bonds, or fidelity bonds have determined that the benefits of risk reduction are greater than the cost of the insurance. Risk shifting is a way to change the distribution of possible outcomes and is accomplished primarily with derivative contracts. For example, financial firms that do not want to bear currency risk on some foreign currency denominated debt securities can use forward currency contracts, futures contracts, or swaps to reduce or eliminate that risk. A firm with a large position in a specific stock can buy put options that provide a minimum sale price for the securities, altering the distribution of possible outcomes. In this case, providing a floor value for the securities. On the other hand, a firm could sell call options on a specific stock, altering the distribution of possible outcomes by giving up some of the upside potential of the stock, but decreasing its downside risk by the amount of the premiums received from the sale of the call options. Organizations may use multiple methods of risk modification to reduce a single risk. The criterion is always a comparison of the costs and benefits of risk modification. Some risks may be mitigated by diversification, some shifted by insurance where it is available and economical, some shifted through the use of derivatives, and some simply borne or self-insured. The end result is a risk profile that matches the risk tolerance established for the organization and includes the risks that top management has determined match the goals of the organization in terms of cost versus potential returns.